Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning into this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life. Well, I want to show you a little video real quick, and then I'm going to dive into my message. Watch this.
The Lone Ranger.
That's it. Anybody like the Lone Ranger? That's what I'm talking about. The Lone Ranger is one of my favorite characters of the old, you know, westerns that you used to watch on TV. The old, when he's riding Silver and he jumps up and he rears up and he says, "Oh, Silver, away," you know, and all that stuff. I mean, that's one of my favorite, TV series of all times. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I when I look back on the old westerns that I used to love and that I still love, like Gunsmoke and Bonanza and The Lone Ranger, here's something that I always loved about them. I love the stunts. Anybody love the stunts that they used to pull? I mean, really, back in the day before they had all this digital stuff, they actually performed all those stunts live. They would jump off those horses and hit the ground, and it was really them hitting the ground, not a digital guy. They would walk the tongue in between the horses, you know, like old John Wayne or, you know, just some, you know, great character in these old westerns, and they would do it actually live. I mean, it was real. It was for real. I love that about the old westerns. Well, here's something else that I love about them. In the old westerns, you could always tell who was the, what, good guy and who was the bad guy. How could you tell? The hats or the clothes that they wear, the hat that they wore. If they wore a black hat, what were they? Bad guys. If they wore a white hat, what were they? They were the good guys. Now, here's the thing. In using that analogy of the Lone Ranger and the black hat being, bad guys and the white hat being good guys, here's what I want you to get. Here's the thing. I love change. I love culture when it changes. I love things when they move forward. I love a church that changes. I love moving forward as a church. But here's the thing. I believe that our culture has created the gray hat. Now, let me just preface this, and let me just say this. I'm not picking on anybody today in particular, but today I'm going to preach probably the most politically incorrect message that I've ever preached. Can I get an amen? Yeah, some of you guys don't like that, but I don't, never mind. But here's the truth. I'm going to preach a message that I believe that all of us need to hear, especially in the culture that we live in. Some of you guys may be ticked off after you hear what I'm going to say today, but that's okay. I love you anyways, and I hope that you come back to our church. But here's the thing. I believe that what used to be black isn't black anymore. What used to be white isn't white anymore. Again, I believe that our culture has created this hat that a lot of not just non-believers put on, but a lot of Christians put on, and it's the gray hat. And you say, what is the gray hat? Well, let me just say this. People that wear the gray hat teach that there's no right or wrong. I mean, it's really just kind of whatever you want to do, whatever feels right, whatever feels good, you just get to do that. What else do they teach? Whatever works for you is what's right. Sin, no big deal. It may be sin to you, but it's not sin to me. I can do whatever I want. Whatever feels right, I'm going to do it no matter what the consequences are, no matter who says it's wrong, I'm going to do it. That is the gray hat culture. Now, here's the truth. At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we are going to commit and we will not sit by and let the world teach us, skew our cultural view, our worldview, or mold us or our kids into wearing the gray hat. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, again, some of you guys are clapping. I appreciate that. Some of you guys aren't. But here's the truth. As your pastor, I'm committed to live by and to teach our church and our kids that black is still black and that white is still white. Amen? Now, here's the thing. I'm going to do a series over the next couple weeks, and it's called The Gray Hat. And here's the preface for it. How to fight the gray agenda. How to fight the gray agenda. And you may be thinking, well, Bo, that's not very tolerant. That's not very politically correct. Well, here's the truth. I'm sick of being politically correct. Here's the thing. The culture and our media is trying to shove down our throats this gray hat agenda. And guess what I'm doing? I'm spitting it out. I'm spitting out the gray agenda. There is still black, there is still white, and there is still truth in our world. Amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about. And here's the thing. I'm going to fight against the gray agenda. You know why? For the sake of you, and for the sake of me, and for the sake of the next generation. I'm going to do whatever I can. And you say, Bo, the Bible tells us that it's going to get worse and worse, and that's true, but guess what? I'm going to fight until the very end. I'm just going to do it. Woody Guthrie, the old great country singer songwriter, made a list of New Year's resolutions in 1943, and he listed 33 resolutions. You can get online, you can read it. They're pretty cool. Some of them were work more and better. One of them was take a bath. That's a good New Year's resolution. Back in the Dust Bowl days, they probably had dust all over them all the time. Take a bath. Another one was stay glad. Another one was dance better. That's what he wanted to do. His New Year's resolution was to dance better. But number 33, the very last one on his list, is the most epic one of them all. And here's what he said. I want to wake up and fight. I want to wake up and fight. Here, listen to this, church. Listen. We as a church, if the world is ever going to change, the hope of our culture, the hope of our world is found in the local church. It's found in the teachings of the Word of God. It's not found in the Republicans. It's not found in the Democrats. It's not found in all of that stuff. It's found in the church of God through Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? Listen. And so we have to fight, but you're maybe thinking, well, Bo, I'm scared. I'm scared. You're going to probably tick off everybody that we're trying to reach. And if you know my heart isn't to tick people off. But here's the first thing that I want you to get. I'm not afraid to tick people off. Here's why. Here's what I've learned. The truth of the Word of God is offensive because it shows us our sin. The truth of the Word of God is offensive to me. And if it's offensive to me and my sin, then I know it's going to be offensive to some people outside these walls. Amen? Here's the truth is, when I read the Word of God, I'm offended as well. You know why? Because I want what sin is. I want to do the wrong thing. And it offends me that I have to change. And the same thing is true for anybody outside these walls. And the Bible says that, you know what, Bo? Some people aren't going to like you. Some people didn't like Jesus. They hung him on a cross. Some people aren't going to like me. But here's the truth, and this is what I've committed to the Lord. And my wife, again, she gets scared when I say these things. I've committed myself to the Lord. I've committed my wife to the Lord. I've committed my kids to the Lord. And if God wants to, you know, persecute me, and he sees that it's in the best interest of my life and my church and my kids, then I ask him to use me in whatever way he wants to use me to fight the gray hat agenda. Now listen, I'm not asking you to step out on that limb, or maybe I am. But there's a cost that you're going to have to pay to do that. But I, as your pastor, am willing to pay the cost that it takes to fight the gray hat agenda. If I have to be persecuted, then God willing, bring it on. If I have to be ridiculed, God willing, bring it on. If I have to face trials that I, you know, that God wants me to face, then God willing, bring it on. You know why? Because I believe in the truth of God's word. I believe that it's true. I believe that it's absolutely true. And I will fight for it no matter the cost. I will fight for it no matter the cost. And so you say, well, Bo, how are you going to fight? I mean, if the world fights this way, how are you going to fight? Well, here's the way I'm going to fight. I'm not going to fight against people. The Bible tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual and the evil spiritual battle that we face. And so Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And you know what that's saying? The fight isn't against the Republicans. The fight isn't against the Democrats. The fight isn't against the liberals. The fight is against a spiritual force and the devil and his demons that still live and work in this world, right? And so again, our battle is not against all that. The world says you need to fight this way. The world says, and some churches even say it this way, they say, hate everyone that opposes your agenda. They're the enemy. You know, boycott them. Pay them back with rudeness and backstabbing. Kill the fags is what they say. Hate the liberals. Give them hell is what they say. But that's not the truth, and that's not what God tells us to do. If you're a hater, and you want to commit hate crimes on people, can I just tell you, as a Christian and as a non-Christian, either one, that you will face the judgment of God. So if you want to be hateful and you want to be an idiot, then you're going to face the judgment of God. Fighting the battle in the world's way is not the right way. Fighting the battle the biblical way is the right way. And so Christ followers, people that follow Jesus should never fall into the trap of hate crimes, bullying, being idiots, you know, calling people names, all that stuff. That's not what we should be about. But listen, we should stand for what we believe is right. We should stand for it in Washington, we should stand for it in our homes, and we should stand for it in our church. And we will. We will stand for it. And so here's the thing. In this series, I'm going to talk about two things, two questions. Number one, how do we fight the gray hat agenda where nothing is right or wrong, nothing's good or bad, you know, sin is relative? And then number two, how do we love the neighbor that we disagree with? How do we love the neighbor that we disagree with? Well, I'm going to start with number one today, and then we're going to work to number two next week. I want you to look at the screen and look at the scripture in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to look at this scripture together, and then we're going to be done. Listen to what it says. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Do you see that big word? Is that blurry? It's blurry to me. How's that? "In the beginning was the Word." You see that capitalization of that W right there? You know what that means? It's a name. The Word is actually another name for Jesus Christ. So when you see that word in here, listen to it. It's talking about Jesus. So it says, "In the beginning was the Word," or Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." Verse 4. "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness it has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John," and that was John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. Verse 7. "He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light," I'm talking about John, "he came only as a witness to the light." Verse 9, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God." And then look at verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, I know that's a lot of scripture, and we're going to kind of, you know, break that down a little bit. But here's the thing, and I want to paraphrase this real quick. Jesus was, at the very beginning, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was and has been from the very beginning. Do you catch that? I mean, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Guess who was there? Jesus was there. Look at what else it says. Through Jesus, all things were created. Right? Jesus came to the earth and became fully human. In other words, he put flesh on, but he never ceased to be fully God. Do you get it? He never ceased to be fully God, but he became fully human. And then Jesus was and still is the light of the world, the light that cannot be snuffed out by darkness. It can't be snuffed out by the black or the gray agenda, because he's the light of the world. You know, John the baptizer came to prepare the way for Jesus. John was not the Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah. And although Jesus had created all of us, guess what? There are many people that don't believe in him. But there were some that did believe in him. And you say, well, okay, Bo, that's a bunch of churchy stuff, and that really doesn't make sense to me. What does all this have to do with fighting the gray hat culture or the gray hat agenda? Here's what this verse shows us. It shows us who our authority is. Do you get it? If Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, if Jesus Christ is the light of the world, if Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, then Jesus is the only one who can judge right from wrong and truth from lies. Can I get an amen on that? Do you want me to say that again? If Jesus is the creator of all things, he was there at the beginning. If Jesus is the light of the world, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then Jesus is the only one that can judge right from wrong. Not me and not you. So here's the question. How do I, if Jesus is the only one that can judge, by what authority do I as a pastor or you as a Christian have the right to judge right or wrong or black or white? What authority do I have? And I'm going to give you my answer. Here's my answer. The simple answer for me being able to judge black and white as a pastor, as a Christian, is found in God's holy word. See, some people want to say that this is just a history book. Some people want to say that this is just a fairy tale. Some people want to say that this is just out of, you know, I mean, this is old school. This is out of date. This is doesn't work. No, listen, this is God's holy word. Look at what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. It says, all scripture is God, what? Say it with me. Breathed. Say it again. All scripture is God breathed. You know what this means? It means that God breathed life into his word. And it says that it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so this book isn't just a history book. This book isn't just a fairy tale. It is the inspired and empowered word of God. And so when people ask me, they go, Bo, what is black or white? I have the authority, I have the capability, I have the right, I have the pleasure of sharing with them the truth of God's holy word. And so you say, Bo, how can you judge people? How can you say that that's wrong? How can you say that that's right? It is in the word of God. And if it's in the word of God, it's truth. Now I want to pull up, you know, something that happened the other day that many of you guys have probably read. There was a big news in the entertainment world the other day. I don't know if you realize this, but a guy named Phil Robertson with the Duck Dynasty, do you guys know who I'm talking about? He did an interview and an article with GQ magazine. And they asked him, they said, what in your mind is sin? And guess what Phil did? Phil told him the truth. Phil actually didn't go, hey, this is my word, so I want you to listen to my word. Guess what he did? He quoted scripture. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 is what he said. And I want to read it to you. It says this: "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or are greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God." Now that's the word that Phil quoted to GQ magazine. Guess what? Phil didn't duck the truth. The pun's intended. Phil didn't duck the truth. Phil didn't say, "Hey, this is my word. Listen to what I believe. Listen to what I made up." No, he quoted from the scripture. And you say, "Well, that's not a very good verse. I mean, that's kind of negative. I mean, everybody's going to die and go to hell if they've sinned." The truth is, yes. If you have been born into this world and you're of the age of accountability, if you have sinned in your life, then you are going to die and go to hell without Jesus. The scripture that didn't make the article was the scripture that happened right after this quote from Phil in 1 Corinthians. The scripture in verse 11 says this, right after he says all these people are going to die and go to hell. Look at what it says. And he's talking to Christians here. He's talking to a church. He says, "Some of you were once like that." I want to stop right there. Do you realize what he just said? Some of you were male prostitutes. Some of you were homosexuals. Some of you were cheats. He's talking to the church, and he's saying, "Some of you were liars. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were greedy. Some of you were drunkards. Some of you were abusive. Some of you used to be like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." And so here's the thing. All the culture wants to focus in on is this condemnation. All these people are going to die and go to hell. But they don't get the part of verse 11 that says if you accept Jesus into your life, guess what? You get forgiven of your sin. I don't know about you, but that's great news for me. You know why? Because I'm a sinner. I've been greedy, I've lied, I've probably stolen stuff in my life, I've been abusive to certain people verbally. I mean, all those things I'm probably guilty of. And so, listen, I mean, people want to say, you know, everybody's just judging everybody. No, we're not judging everybody. The truth of God's word judges me. And that's how I have the authority to say what is black or white. And so again, God provided a way for the homosexual. He provided a way for the liar. He provided a way for the preacher. He provided a way for the church member. He provided a way for everyone. And so when people say, "Why does God send people to hell?" He doesn't send them to hell. They send themselves to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. And so here's the truth. I mean, we're all destined for hell unless we know Jesus. It's the bottom line. And the Word of God shows us that. See, much of the world wants to blame Christians for making all this stuff up. But it's found in the Word of God. And if we are Bible-believing Christians, then we will trust the Word of God and apply it and teach it to stop the gray hat agenda. And you say, "Well, so how do we fight? How do we fight the gray hat agenda?" We fight it through the power, the authority, through the weapon, through our foundation, through our truth of the Word of God. And so here's the truth for you as a Christian. If you are going to fight the good fight, if you're going to be a victor, then you have to know the Word of God. I mean, people come up to me and they're like, "Hey, I thought this was true." And they just want to blabber off their opinion. And you know what I want to do? I want to say, "Shut your pie hole." Because I don't want your opinion. I want the truth. And so listen, if you're a Christian in here and you don't know the truth of God's word, you need to get to reading this because this is what you need to live by. Stop living by the opinions of the gray culture and start living by the opinion of Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the truth, and he is the life. And so this is the basis for the series called The Gray Hat. Now, if you're offended today, again, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you, but here's the truth. I will preach the truth of God's word, and I will do it unapologetically. And here's the thing. If you believe that we're just a bunch of judgmental jerks just like the rest of the world, I hope that you'll come back next week. You know why? Because I'm going to preach on how to love people. See, here's the truth. I can be right, and I can still be a jerk. I can have the truth and still not reach people. Let me give you a scripture, and I'm done. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Look at it on the screen. Listen to what it says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And so listen, Christians, we can have the truth of God's word, but if we convey it in a non-loving way, and if we don't accept the sinners just like God accepts us, then we gain nothing. And so maybe you need to come back next week, and maybe you need to see, how do we love people that we disagree with? See, guilt, condemnation, judging, none of that stuff has ever brung anybody to Jesus Christ. You know what's brung people to Jesus Christ? Love. And so maybe you need to work on that. Maybe I need to work on that. Now I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. We're going to close it out today. Here's the question that I have for you. Maybe if you're a Christian, here's the question I have for you. Will you fight? Will you fight for the next generation? Will you fight for your kids? Will you fight for the truth of God's word? I said I wasn't going to ask you to go with me, but I'm going to. As your pastor, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to quench the gray hat agenda. And with your head bowed and your eyes closed, and this is a commitment that you maybe just need to, you know, again, count the cost. But how many of you would say, Bo, I'm willing to pray about fighting with you? How many guys would raise your hand and say, Bo, I'm willing to pray about fighting with you? Thank you. See, listen, the truth is the world's just going to get worse. The Bible, again, tells us that it's going to get worse. But my goal in life, my desire in life, my calling in life, and your calling as a Christian in this world is to fight the good fight, to fight for the truth of God's word. And so listen, if you're going to make a difference in this world, it's not because you make a lot of money. It's not because you ride a good horse. It's not because you have a big house. It's not because, you know, you got a good job. All those things are great. But listen, if you don't do what you're called to do as a Christian, and if you don't stand up for truth and speak the truth in love and change the next generation by teaching your kids and other kids the truth of God's word, then you don't really make a difference. And so, again, I'm asking you to fight with me. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo? I'm going to refuse to hate. How many of you guys would raise your hand and say, Bo, I'm going to refuse to hate. Even though I disagree, I'm not going to hate the culture that we're trying to reach. Anybody raise your hand and say, that's me? Thank you, all across the room. How many of you guys would say, Bo, here's the truth. I learned this today from you. I'm going to study God's word so that I can know and be ready to give the world the answer that is found in the word of God. How many of you guys would say, Bo, I'm willing to make that commitment today. I'm going to study the word of God so that I can have the answers. Thank you. I hope that you walk away today knowing that there is a battle raging and that either you're losing or you're winning. Some of us, and I include myself in this, some of us have been wearing the gray hat. We've told people, hey, you know, whatever feels good, you know, whatever's right for you. I mean, that's where you need to go. I mean, if it makes you happy, go for it. And some of us have wore that gray hat. And some of us need to repent to that and say, God, I want to tell my friends the truth. I don't want to be passive. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to just speak, just junk into people's ears. I want to tell them the truth. And I need to repent of wearing the gray hat. Now, here's the thing. Some of you may be here today and you may be thinking, you know what, Bo? I don't know this Jesus, so guess what? I've committed some of those sins that you listed, in Scripture, and I'm destined for hell. And I need to be forgiven. Some of you may be here today, and that's you. You may be thinking, well, you know, how do I know Jesus personally? Listen, the Bible says that if you will confess Him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You know what that's saying? If you'll just say to the Lord, in your heart, you'll just say, you know, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm destined for hell, and I need you to forgive me of my sin so that I can live with you for eternity in heaven. It's simple. It's a simple prayer. Maybe you just need to pray that in your heart right now. God, I need you as my Savior. I know I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive me. Listen, if you just prayed that, listen, it's the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life. You now possess Jesus Christ in your life. He's in your heart. He can empower you to say no to the gray hat agenda, to fight with His power. Again, this isn't a fight against flesh and blood. It's a fight against the spiritual forces of this world and the evil in this world. And so maybe if you gave your life to Christ today, maybe you're that person. Know that, listen, you have the power to fight sin and that Christ has forgiven you no matter what you've done, no matter what road that you've been down. And so here's the thing. If you just prayed that prayer, we want to know about it. We want you to share it with us so that we can fight alongside of you, so that we can get you a good Bible, so that we can show you how to live this life to glorify God. And so please fill out that orange card, place it in one of these yellow buckets, and then we will contact you. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your truth. Lord, I know that some people may walk away from our church today, and they may be going, I'm never going back there. Preacher's judgmental. Lord, I pray that they would second guess that. And then they would realize that the truth of God's word is what we have to live by. And if we don't, then we're going down the wrong road. And so, Lord, may we love people as they are. May we accept them as they are. But may we speak the truth into their life with love. And may they accept you and may they live for you. Lord, bring us back next week and help us to learn how to love the neighbor that we disagree with. And we will give you all the glory. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, Thousand Hills Ranch Church at yahoo.com. Or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.